Welcome to English for International Students, episode 5.5. Today's language focus will be on new vocabulary and idioms that you heard in last week's podcast. We hope you enjoy.
Okay, we are going to start off with some vocabulary words that might be unfamiliar. Most of them are related to the topic of the interview, so they're in the business world. The first term is clerical. Clerical. So that just kind of refers to office work, basically.
And another word you heard on the podcast was garnered. Garnered. So garnered might mean basically that something earned something. People often use the word garnered in conjunction with support. So their ideas garnered a lot of support, meaning like they earned a lot of support, or they warranted a lot of support, gathered a lot of support. How else do people say garnered?
With gathered is good.
Yeah. I can't think. Garnered support is often garnered esteem, something like that.
Okay, and the next word that we have is inordinate. Inordinate. Okay, so inordinate, it means a lot, and it even means an unnecessary amount. So it's usually used maybe not so positively. Like, there was an inordinate amount of rain yesterday. That means it was unusual, it was uncalled for. It's a lot.
Not ordinary.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, the next one we have on the list is pioneers. Pioneers. So pioneers refers to some of the early settlers of the United States, I guess, of North America.
Think covered wagon.
Exactly, covered wagon. And it's used in today's day and age to describe anyone who's willing to try and do something new. The first person to try and do something. So if someone was a pioneer in biology, they may have been discovering new things. So anyone who's doing something new, untested, that person would be a pioneer.
The next word is vendors. Vendors. In this sense, the business world, vendors are basically different specialists who are hired to do a job. If I'm building a building and I have someone come do the windows and then another person do the floor and then somebody come clean, you can refer to them collectively as vendors. And then there are also, in another sense, like street vendors, like people who sell stuff. So they're sort of related, but this one's business.
Okay, the next one is inducements. Inducements. And inducements are anything that induce someone to do something or prompt someone to do something. So if I'm asking for volunteers for a research project, I might try and offer some kind of inducement. Like, if you guys come and help me, I will bring you guys Cokes and chips. That would be an inducement to do something. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Our next word is enterprise. Enterprise. So, In this case, we mean, the only thing that I can keep thinking of is the Enterprise, like Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars Enterprise.
Yeah,
That's probably what my dad was talking about.
Probably. an Enterprise, it's like I think of a business.
Yeah, it's any big organization.
Yes, a big organization, an enterprise. Yeah.
The next one we have on the list is siding. Siding. And siding refers to the material that covers the outside of a house. So you could have a brick house, but there might also be a house with siding. And they have steel siding or vinyl siding. But it is basically, just the material covering the outside of a house. We'll include a picture on the blog so you guys can see an example. I hope my dad doesn't listen to this episode and realize how poorly I just described siding.
Okay, next one is actually two words together. It is in essence. In essence. So we use this to mean the actual kind of the actual quality of something or the actual state of something. It kind of means actually. So in essence, siding is stuff that goes on the side of a house. So what that means is it's something that it that's what it actually is.
Yeah, like basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Next is these are also two words. Here are two words together. Self-starter. Self-starter. And so this is just like a person who is motivated to do something and doesn't need to be told what to do and given a plan. They're just already on top of things.
Takes initiative.
Okay. And the next one is turn off. Turn off. So Mr. Jones used this to describe things that made him not want to hire someone. So a turn off is something that makes you lose interest, actually. So it could be, well, he talked about potential employees lacking team spirit. Yes, lacking team spirit, and that's a turn off for him. That means that it makes him not want to hire that person.
The next one on the list is self-entitlement. Self-entitlement. This is commonly used to describe millennials. Those are people in the millennial generation. And a lot of people in other generations complain that millennials have a strong sense of entitlement or self-entitlement. And that basically means that someone believes that just because they exist, they deserve things. So if someone is working in a company and they say, look, just because I work here, just because I'm on payroll, then I deserve a check, maybe regardless how hard I'm working or how much I'm doing, but just because I'm me, just because I'm alive, I deserve things in life. And that's something that people in other generations are really bothered by.
Okay, and then we have startups. Startups. And so these are, it's just kind of like a new company that has just started up, I think, unless you have more to add.
No,
That's
that's
pretty
good.
much it.
Okay, now we're going to discuss some of the idioms that were used in the interview. The first one on our list is track record. Track record. And track record basically describes your history. So if someone said, if a student came to my class and said, I know I skipped class 4 times, but I've worked really hard. Please, can you make sure that I pass the class? I might say, well, actually, you don't have a very good track record of working hard in my class. Or my dad used track record in terms of a business's reputation. Do they have a good track record? So you could have a good track record or a bad track record or no track record.
Okay, next, roll the dice. Roll the dice. And this, I assume, refers to gambling because to roll the dice is to take a chance and see what happens. And that's kind of that dice game where you roll them
Yeah, there's a
for
lot of
money.
those.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so our next idiom is forging new ground. Forging new ground. So this means going where no one has gone before. It is doing something that has not yet been tested, or it's being a pioneer, really. They're correlated, these two terms.
Yeah.
Yes.
Strongly correlated, positively.
Strongly
Yeah.
correlated. Because it's pioneers who forge new ground.
Exactly.
Now we have exception to the rule. Exception to the rule. This sort of just means something is extraordinary by there's like the normal way of things, but then there's something that doesn't really fit in. That's not quite right, though.
Anything that's different than the norm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it could be good or bad, I guess.
The rule is the norm.
Yeah. Whoa. Exactly.
And this is the exception.
If I said, like, not very many engineers are artistic, but he is the exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. No offense to engineers. I'm sure a lot of you are very artistic.
She meant sound engineers.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the next one on the list is get schooled. Mm-hmm. Get schooled. So if you get schooled in something, that can mean that you just learn about something. You can think of it as like going to school. So my dad said something about getting schooled in maybe a technical aspect of the business. You need to learn about that aspect of the business. But I would say in a more slang sense, mm-hmm. if someone gets schooled, it usually means that someone else, like, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but if, like, Rachel and I, you can imagine either one are in some kind of an argument.
Okay, Rachel.
Yeah. And she really, like, kind of, I don't know, like, beats me with words. Like, we're both trying to kind of show each other up or, like, put the other person down. Mm-hmm. If she did really well in kind of, like, arguing with me, I might say she schooled me. Or I would probably never admit it. But she would say, I schooled her. Or yes. I took her to
she
school.
She got schooled.
Yes, yeah. And it's used a lot in sports, especially in basketball. So if, let's say I think I'm really good at basketball, and then I play somebody who's really, really good. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say...
The other Rachel, me.
Yes, the other Rachel. And then I could say, oh, I just got schooled by Rachel, because she basically, I'm saying she taught me how it's done, actually.
So if you're keeping track, I've schooled both of them, both Rachel and Lily.
Yeah.
But which Rachel are you? That's the question.
No one will ever know.
No one will know.
Okay, so our next idiom is in deep enough. In deep enough. So basically, the way that your dad used it was... He said that whenever you start a new business, you basically burn your boat behind you, which will be discussed next. And then you are in deep enough that you have to keep going forward. You can't go back.
Yeah. So, like, in this case, he invested so much money in starting up the business that he had no choice but for it to be successful. He was in deep enough that he would be in real trouble if it didn't work out. So that brings us to the next one, which is to burn the boats behind you. And this means kind of the same thing that Rachel was just describing. And it means basically to arrive, if you're a pioneer, you're forging new ground, and you arrive to a new land, and then you burn the boats behind you. It means you have no choice to be successful. Choice except to be successful. Otherwise you're in big trouble. There's no going back. And people also commonly say to burn the bridge behind you. And that means the exact same thing. There's another use of burning bridges, and that means usually in relationships with people. So if I said, I really want to quit my job and take a new job, but I don't want to burn my bridges with my boss at my current job because maybe I would want to work here again in the future, something like that. It just means don't destroy your connection with people or with a particular organization so that you still have opportunity for connection with them in the future.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is paint yourself in the best possible light. Paint yourself in the best possible light. So, figuratively, this means to make yourself look as good as you can. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're, let's say, starting a business or giving an interview or whatever, you don't want to tell your future customers or future employer your flaws. Mm-hmm. You don't want to point out the things that are maybe not so positive about yourself, but you want to just point out the qualities that you have, the things that are positive. So in the metaphor there is that, you know, as though you're a painter painting yourself. If you're painting yourself, you're not going to paint like your wrinkles and like your like flabby arms, you know. you're going to paint your positive characteristics because you don't want to make yourself look bad.
Like a selfie.
Yes, like a selfie. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Now, the
speaking
next.
Speaking of selfies.
Speaking of selfies, the next term is red flags. Red flags. Or I think in the interview, it's major red flags. And so red flags are warning signs, basically, that alert you that something might not be right.
Yeah.
And there's not an actual flag involved. Mm-hmm. It's just in your mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we said selfies, and speaking of red flags, I would say generally in American culture, if someone takes a lot of selfies, that's considered an undesirable thing. So that might be a red flag that person is like vain or self-focused or something.
Just lost on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one on the list is entrepreneurial spirit.
What?
I said entrepreneurial spirit. I think entrepreneur comes from French, and that's why we have trouble saying it and spelling it, even though it's a really common word. So basically, the entrepreneurial spirit is someone who is a self-starter. They really enjoy starting up new businesses, typically. And so, as my dad described, an entrepreneur is someone who's starting a lot of new businesses. Maybe they're investing in a lot of new businesses. They like to see things start up. But someone with this spirit, we might describe in a more casual sense, as just anyone who likes to be involved in startup kinds of things. So someone who is a pioneer, they're always involved in new things. And usually in a business sense, but someone might have an entrepreneurial spirit, but not be an entrepreneur in the strictest sense, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next is to wear a lot of hats. Wear a lot of hats. This, again, there are not actual hats, though there can be, but this just means a person who assumes a bunch of different roles. Mm-hmm. So, what is a good example? Mm-hmm. Where, like, being...
You could talk about, like, a mother.
She's
a mother, a wife, what else?
A business lady.
Oh, yeah, a worker.
Yeah, business tycoon, maybe.
A housekeeper.
She teaches yoga on the weekends.
A chef.
Chef. She wears a lot of hats. So she takes on all those different roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And most of us do have hats, incidentally.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like it's connected.
Pretty much. Okay. Next, we've got they were shorted. They were shorted. Okay, so this means pretty much that someone is cheated out of something. So let's say that I go to the store and buy something that costs $1 and I pay with a $10 bill and the cashier gives me back $4 instead of $9. Mm-hmm. That means that I was shorted $5. Mm-hmm. So this can apply to anything. Like if someone is purchasing a service, and then that person, the worker, doesn't do it good enough, then the customer could say they were shorted.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So the next and final one on the list is reading between the lines. Reading between the lines. And this means to see or interpret something about a situation that's not actually there or that's not actually being said, but you're picking up on another message that people are sending. So you may remember that we talked about high context culture and low context culture. So in a high context culture, people are doing a lot more reading between the lines. They're looking at people's facial expressions and things like that. So if I'm interviewing someone and they keep describing situations where they were shorted in past jobs, then I might read between the lines and interpret that this person has a strong sense of self-entitlement, and that might be a red flag to me.
What?
Whoa, it's all coming together, folks. So that is our list of new terms, new vocabulary, and idioms. Next week, you guys will hear episode 6 with the second half of the interview with my dad. Remember that you can check out our blog for more resources. That's englishpodcastblog.wordpress.com. And we will have a full list of all the vocabulary terms that we covered today. We will also have some additional ones that we didn't discuss. So be sure to check that out. Leave us comments. Send us an email. Let us know what you're liking about the podcast, what you would like to see, what you would like to hear. We are grateful for you guys, and we will see you next time.
Bye.